Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldhar, and today Maseches Nedarim, Daf Pei Zayin, the 11th Perek Ve'elu Nedarim. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on, number one, the Gemara observes that our Mishnah, which taught that a hafara for the wrong person is invalid, holds that the pasuk using the term Yani Osa, he shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a brice which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers that the brice of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but was not certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking, where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and a safar was made accordingly for the wrong person. The Gemara supports this answer with a brisa that explicitly distinguishes between where he was told erroneously that his father died, where the kriya is invalid, and where he merely assumed erroneously that it was his father, where the kriya is valid. Point number two, Ravashi offers another solution. The brisa which validates a kriya done for the wrong person is when the truth was discovered, betoch kedei dibor, within the time required for an utterance, meaning the amount of time necessary to say, shamalech rebbe, just as one can correct or retract a statement within this time period, an action such as kriya is also considered to continue for this time period, and thus qualifies as a kriya for the correct person. Our Mishnah speaking where the correct identity of the vower was discovered after this time span. This answer is supported by a brisa which teaches that one who tore kriya for a relative who seemed to have died and actually died afterwards, the kriya would be valid if the death occurred within toch kedei dibur. The Gemara concludes with a ruling that all statements can be retracted within toch kedei dibur with four exceptions: blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty, even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration; marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ran explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, if a woman vowed, konam te'enim va'anavim e'u sh'ani to'emes, konam my tasting these figs and grapes, and her husband confirmed the fig aspect of the neder, it is confirmed entirely, and even the grape aspect cannot be revoked. If he revoked the fig aspect of the neder, it is not revoked until he revokes the grape aspect as well. The Ran explains that although the hafara permits the figs, the grapes remain prohibited until he revokes them directly. The Ran also offers an alternate explanation. The Gemara says that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Kiva holds, based on the Torah comparing hafara and akama, that just as a partial akama affects a complete confirmation, so too a partial hafara revokes the entire neder. A third opinion is quoted from the Chachamim saying, just as a partial hafara only voids the aspect which he revoked, so too a partial akama only confirms the aspect that he confirmed. So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara observes that our Mishnah, which taught that a hafara for the wrong person is invalid, holds that the pasuk using the term Yani Osa, he shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a brisa which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers that the brisa of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but was not certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking, where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and a safar was made accordingly for the wrong person. The Gemara supports this answer with a brisa that explicitly distinguishes between where he was told erroneously that his father died, where the kriya is invalid, and where he merely assumed erroneously that it was his father, where the kriya is valid. Point number two, Ravashi offers another solution. The brisa which validates a kriya done for the wrong person is when the truth was discovered, betoch kedei dibor, within the time required for an utterance, meaning the amount of time necessary to say, shamalech rebbe, just as one can correct or retract a statement within this time period, an action such as kriya is also considered to continue for this time period, and thus qualifies as a kriya for the correct person. Our Mishnah speaking where the correct identity of the vower was discovered after this time span. This answer is supported by a brisa which teaches that one who tore kriya for a relative who seemed to have died and actually died afterwards, the kriya would be valid if the death occurred within toch kedei dibur. The Gemara concludes with a ruling that all statements can be retracted within Tokhei de Dibur with four exceptions. Blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty, even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration. Marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ran explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, if a woman vowed, Konam te'enim va'anavim e'u sha'ani to'emes, Konam my tasting these figs and grapes, and her husband confirmed the fig aspect of the neder, it is confirmed entirely, and even the grape aspect cannot be revoked. If he revoked the fig aspect of the neder, it is not revoked until he revokes the grape aspect as well. The Ran explains that although the hafara permits the figs, the grapes remain prohibited until he revokes them directly. The Ran also offers an alternate explanation. The Gemara says that our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Kiva holds, based on the Torah comparing hafara and akama, that just as a partial akama affects a complete confirmation, so too a partial hafara revokes the entire neder. A third opinion is quoted from the Chachamim saying, just as a partial hafara only voids the aspect which he revoked, so too a partial akama only confirms the aspect that he confirmed. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Pei Zayin, and this Siman was suggested to us by Binyamin Mishal from Boker Hatan and by Eli Behar from Ramat Beit Shemesh. They both suggested the Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The husband who did hafara for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, but was informed, Tokhei de Dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he had tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape, Pez candies. Once again, in slow motion. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must be more daf Pei Zayin. Golden Pez candy dispenser. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, which reminds us, our Mishnah, which taught that hafar for the wrong person is invalid, holds that the pasuk using the term yani osa, he who shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a brisa which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid, despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers the brisa of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but wasn't certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and his hafara was made accordingly for the wrong person. So the husband who did hafara for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, but was informed, Tokhei de Dibur, that in fact it was his wife, which reminds the Gemara brings a ruling that all statements can be retracted within Tokhei de Dibur with four exceptions. Blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration, and marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ran explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, but was informed, Tokhei de Dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape, Pez candies. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokas whether a partial akama confirms the entire neder, and if a partial hafara revokes the entire neder. So once again, the husband who did hafara for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden Pez candy dispenser, but was informed, Tokhei de Dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he had tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape, Pez candies. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Pei Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The husband was made for completely in the naziris of his wife, the pogo stick champion, pogo stick. That must be one Daf Pei Gimel. The husband was made for completely in the naziris of his wife, the pogo stick champion, so that she could drink her power grape drink with grape seeds and skins. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef explained, a naziris or chesayin. There's no halfway naziris. The Rosh explains that a wife's original neder of naziris is a single neder encompassing all the prohibitions of naziris. So the husband's hafara, part of the naziris, voids the entire neder. In contrast, the neder from two loaves is essentially two separate nedarim, so the husband's hafar of one does not dictate the voiding of the other. So the husband was made for completely the naziris of his wife, the pogo stick champion, so that she can drink her power grape drink with grape seeds and skins. Watch her jump over the sad nazir bemoaning that nobody would bury him because he doesn't bury others, which reminds us, a nazir refraining from tuma does indeed cause discomfort, so the husband can revoke his wife's neder. As Rimer taught, what's the meaning of the pasuk v'hacha yiten alibo, and the living shall take it to heart? One who eulogizes others will be eulogized. One who cries over others will be cried over, and one who buries others will be buried. Refraining from these activities will deprive her of these benefits. So the husband was made for completely the naziris of his wife, the pogo stick champion, so that she could drink her power grape drink with grape seeds and skins. Watch her jump over the sad nazir bemoaning that nobody would bury him because he doesn't bury others. And he proudly waited at the finish line with some leket for her to take because he could not be made for a neder of konim sha'ani nenen lebrius, which reminds us, the next mission teaches, konim sha'ani nenen lebrius eni yachlo hafer. If she said, konim I benefiting from people, he could not revoke it, and she can benefit from leket shechem peah because they're onerous. Daf pei dalet, so the Zimmer daf pei dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. The woman who vowed, I am removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad. That must mean daf pei dalet. The woman who vowed, I am removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, which reminds us, Rabbi challenged Rav Nach, who said that a husband is not included in a neder from people, from a Mishnah. A woman who vowed, Natula ani mina Yehudim, I am removed from Jews, the husband can revoke what pertains to him, and she may have relations with him, but she remains prohibited in relations to all the Jews, even after divorce. The Gemara answers that although the husband is generally not included in a neder from people, here he is included in the neder from relations, since we presume that she intends to prohibit someone who is permitted. So the woman who vowed, I'm removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, went off to collect some maaser ani by the granary, which reminds us, our Mishnah allows one who is prohibited in benefits from all people to receive lechet shechem peah because they are onerous. The Gemara notes, velo katani maaser ani, that our Mishnah does not seem to allow her to receive maaser ani, and this contradicts a brisa which allows it. Rabbi answers that our Mishnah is discussing maaser ani, which is distributed in the house, which the Torah describes with nesina, giving, indicating that the owner determines to whom he gives it, so therefore she may not receive such maaser ani. The brisa is discussing maaser ani distributed at the granary, which the Torah says, v'hanachta b'sha'arecha, and you shall set it down within your cities, indicating that anyone may take it without the owner's consent, so she may receive it. So the woman who vowed, I'm removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, went off to collect some maaser ani by the granary, where she saw one man designate maaser ani of the Mai, which reminds us, Rav Yosef presented a machlokes tanaim. Rav Yezer says, "Ein adam sarech likro shem al maaser ani shel demai," that one does not need to designate maaser ani of demai, and the Chachamim say he must designate it. Daf pehe, so the simur daf pehe is a dentist because it relates to a mouth. So here goes. When the dentist, that must mean we're in daf pehe, mouth, dentist. When the dentist forbade benefit to all Kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he'd given up his tobos hana of his truma, as it was rendered like dust, which reminds us. The Mishnah says when one prohibits Kohanim or Levim, they may take his truma and maaser. This indicates that tobos hana in a moment, the benefit of pleasure is not in equity, meaning the fact that he can choose whom to give the trumas and maasers to and accept payment to do so is not considered a monetary ownership of the truma and maaser. Therefore, the Kohanim and Levim are not receiving something of his. Rava says that our Mishnah holds that tobos hana is a monetary ownership, which explains a later case in the Mishnah. The reason for this case is that since truma is only fit for kohanim, then by attempting to prohibit it to all kohanim, shavya afra ba'alma, he has rendered it mere dust to himself. Since it's impossible for him to give it to any kohen, he has forfeited those monetary rights and rendered it like hefker. So when the dentist forbade benefit to all kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his tobos hana of his truma, as it was rendered like dust. His wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, konim, I will not work for your mouth. Which reminds us, if a wife says to her husband, she'eni osal picho, konim, then I will not work for your mouth. The Tana Kama says, no hafar is necessary, because since she's obligated to work for him, the neder is ineffective. Rabbi Akiva says, yafir shem etadif olav yosim in aruilo. He should revoke it, for perhaps she'll produce more than is due, and the excess, which belongs to her, would become forbidden to him. The Tana Kama holds that even the excess belongs to him and remains permitted. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, Yafir shema yigarshen eti hasur lav. He should revoke it, for perhaps he'll divorce her and then she'll become forbidden to him. So, when the dentist forbade benefit to all Kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his tovus hanah of his truma, as it was rendered like dust. His wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, Konam, I will not work for your mouth, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua explained our mission as a case, where a wife says, Yikadshu yadai lo'oseh, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker, or in our case, Konam, the yadai ma'isna huba'olam, because her hands exist in the world and are subject to hektish. The Gemara clarifies that since her hands are obligated to her husband, she must have added, when I become divorced. Daf Pei Vav. So the simur Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The husband who watched the Nadarim police, that must be in Daf Pei Vav, police. The husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can make a neder to forbid her hands to her husband for after her divorce. Her hands, although obligated to her husband, are in existence, and such a neder can be set to take effect in the future. The Gemara attempts to compare this case to a pledged field, where the lender may take its fruits, where the borrower declares it should be hektish, and then he redeems it, which is effective. This comparison is rejected because it's within the power of the borrower to redeem it, as opposed to the woman who cannot divorce herself. So the husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff, saying that a konam is like hektish and is mafkia the shibud, which reminds us. Rav Ashi finally answers that a konam is able to take effect on her hands even while they are obligated to her husband. Konam, which cannot become permitted through redemption, is similar to a hektish of Kedushas Haguf, physical sanctity about which Rava taught, hektish, chametz, v'shichrur, mafkin midei shibud. Hektish, chametz, and freeing a slave release property from a lien. For example, if one designated his ox to be collected for a loan and subsequently declared it a carbon, the hektish removes the lien from the ox and the loan must be collected from elsewhere. So the husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff saying that a konam is like hektish and is mafkia the shibud, that he mixed up his wife's neder on grapes for his daughter's neder on figs. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nadri ishtva savrisha nadri bito, of his wife vowed, and he thought that his daughter vowed, or the reverse, or she vowed from figs, and he thought she vowed from grapes, or the reverse, harzi yaksur v'yafir, his hafar is invalid, and he must revoke it again, since the hafar was made under incorrect information, either about who made the neder, or what the neder was about. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which stuff do we discuss that a hafar made based on incorrect information is invalid? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good number 2. Which Daf to be the Machlokes Tanaim if Maaser Ani of Damai requires verbal designation? That's on Daf Pei Dalet. Good number 3. Which Daf to be the three-way Machlokes whether a partial Hakama confirms the entire netter and if a partial Hafara revokes the entire netter? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good number 4. Which Daf to learn Hektish, Chametz, and Shichur are mafkia a shibut? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good number 5. Which Daf of a case where a wife says, my hands should be consecrated to their maker? That's on Daf Pei Hei. Good number 6. Which Daf to learn why a wife's neder of netula animini yehudim includes her husband? That's on Daf Pei Dalet. Good number 7. Which Daf to learn all statements can be retracted toch kedei dibur except in 4 instances? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good number 8. Which Daf to have 3 different opinions in a case where a wife says to her husband, Konam, I will not work for your mouth? That's on Daf Pei Hei. Good number 9. Which Daf does the Gemara seek to resolve the difference between the din when one does hafara for the wrong person and one does kriya on the wrong person? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. And number 10. Which Daf do we compare a wife forbidding her hands to her husband to one who has makdish his pledged field and then redeemed it? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.